Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Abusa Ngabanye, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my brother. How are you today? And to all our listeners, I greet you all in Jesus' name. And this afternoon, I hope the Lord has also been taking care of you and keeping you all safe.
Thank you so much. Yes, we are keeping safe. And praise be to the Most High that we are here to talk about things of the kingdom. Have you been well? Are you having a good afternoon?
Fantastic. God is faithful and has been taking care of us. It's hot this side, but all is well. God is good and he's taking care of me.
Fantastic. Great to hear that. Now, we're going to be continuing talking about the millennium as we started yesterday, the millennium and the end of sin. And so those who are joining us, and by the way, if you're listening to the radio, we are joined by Pastor Abusa Ngabanye. If you want to be part of this conversation, please do send us a text on +27 734 70 3520. Now, Pastor, although it might sound perfectly wonderful and exciting to be, spending our time in heaven with Jesus, the question still remains about what we will be doing during the millennium. What exactly is going to be happening during this whooping 1,000 years? And so we're going to be, after this conversation, we would have exactly understood what would be happening there. So before we go any further, what does it mean to you, Pastor, when they say we shall reign with Christ?
Okay, thank you very much. We read that text yesterday. Mm-hmm. We read Revelation 20, verse 1 through 6, for those that are joining us for the first time today. Mm. And thank you for quoting that text right away. It tells us that during the millennium, the 1,000 years, we shall reign, we shall reign, we shall reign, we shall reign with God. We shall reign with Jesus. We shall be engaged in a work of judgment. I think the text was very clear on that. That was Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. The Bible was very clear that we shall judge. But let's expound on that thought now. Mm. Let's expound on that thought now. We shall judge. My favorite writer, once again, Ellen White, makes it clear that we shall the wicked. We shall judge the wicked. We shall judge the wicked. Let's explain this. Mm. Let's explain this.
Please, please.
Perhaps it's also important that we first join this with a text that is written by Paul. By Paul. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to read in your hearing verses 2 to 3. Mm. The Bible says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So the text is clear. The saints shall judge the world. One of the greatest questions that we are going to have when we get to heaven is to try and understand where our loved ones who would not have made it to heaven are, and why they are not, why they are not in heaven. Because some of them, the elders in our church, the deacons in our church, and even the pastors, perhaps, who have been preaching to us all this while, and it will be such a surprise and such a shock to realize that they are not here, they are not with us in heaven. So what does it mean that the saints shall judge? So one of the things we are going to, God is going to peruse through the records. Remember, there are books that are being written with terrible exactness about everyone and their deeds and their works, their decisions, their thoughts. So these are now going to be opened and revealed to us. So life records are going to be revealed to us. And we are going to understand and see why these brothers and why these sisters have not made it to heaven. And we will know that it is because of the choices that they have made. And we will understand why they are going to receive their punishment in the end. So this is the time when we shall then declare that righteous are your judgments, O Lord, because we will be so satisfied that none will be left with a question as to why is the pastor not here? Why is the chorister not here? Why is the deacon not here? Why is my father not here? Why is my mother not here? So this is what the Bible means when it says, over the 1,000 years, one of the things will be going through God, will be going through records for us, and we'll see. And why is this going to be done also? Remember, the devil's accusation in the first place was that God is unjust in his government, in his reign. So this needs to be dispelled before all the creatures before God and everyone else, that no, righteous and just are God's judgment. So this whole process of judging the world, judging the wicked, is there to reveal and prove beyond doubt that indeed the devil, his angels, and all those who were deceived by him deserve the punishment that they shall receive. Had the devil and his angels been destroyed right at the point of their rebellion, we would never know, we would never come to a full knowledge of the justice of God. But through this process, where we reign with Christ, the process of judging the wicked, we will surely then declare that indeed God is just and God is righteous. So that is one of the main businesses that we are going to be conducting in heaven, which is to reign with Christ, the process and the act of judgment.
Interesting. Now, is this the whole purpose of the millennium?
It can be the whole purpose of the millennium. This is a holiday, my brother. This is a holiday for the saints. God has promised us that when he comes again, he will take us to this heaven, a blissful place, a place of joy and wonder. So we'll be on a honeymoon with Jesus, where we shall enjoy God's wonderful creation in heaven. We shall enjoy the beauty of heaven. Heaven, ears have not heard nor eyes seen what God has prepared for us. So that alone tells us beyond doubt that God has prepared something huge and something big for us. So it's a time to rest. We shall be healed when we get to heaven. Some of us are frail right now. We are suffering from terminal illnesses, diabetes, high blood pressure. We have things in our flesh that will only be rectified when we make it to heaven. So it's going to be a holiday where God shall renew us when we eat from the tree of life, and we shall be invigorated once again. We shall meet with old Adam and Eve, Abraham, Moses.
Pastor? Hello. Oh, I think we, man. It is
all this.
Yes, Pastor. We lost you there for a moment. Oh, I think, Pastor.
Sorry about that. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Now you're back. Sorry, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry. So we shall share the experience of how we overcame with the saints. So it's a holiday. It's a time to meet with our Savior, to meet with our Jesus, the one who came and died for us. What a reunion. We shall meet with our loved ones, those who have gone through death. We were separated, reunited with our parents, with our brothers, with our sisters. What a great reunion it shall be. Mother united with child united with their brother, with their sister, with their father. So it's not all about judgment, but God is going to restore all the joy that we lost through sin when we reunite also with our loved ones in heaven.
Beautiful. Now, what does it mean that the saints will judge the world? I mean, isn't the responsibility of the Creator God himself to judge? Why would he get out of the judgment seat and give way to mere mortals to judge?
Thank you very much. So this process is being done not for God's sake, but for our sake.
Okay.
This process is being done also for the other living creatures in heaven who are also wondering, including the angels, possibly, who are also wondering, how did God deal with Lucifer? Why was he spared? Or perhaps Lucifer was right after all. So this process, when the saints shall judge the world, this process is meant to vindicate Christ. This process is meant to vindicate God. So we need to see beyond doubt the love of God. So we will experience the love of God, because right now many wonder, but why did God allow sin? Why are we suffering today? Why is it there is death today? Why couldn't God just destroy Lucifer at the point of rebellion and his angels once and for all, and would have been living in a peaceful world? Why did he allow sin? How come today we die? How come we are in this pain and in this misery, in this sinful world? So the process is to answer that question, why? And when it is answered, we will then see that God allowed this even out of love. God did not destroy Lucifer even out of love, so that we don't worship him out of fear, but we worship him out of love. So the whole process of judging the world is meant for us to see how evil Lucifer is and why he deserves to die, why he deserves the punishment he will now receive right at the end. Because we would never have understood had we not experienced the pain of death, which came through Lucifer. Would never understand why Lucifer deserves the punishment that he shall receive. But at that point, when everything is revealed to all of us, we'll understand that indeed this process was important. We had to understand why things had to happen the way they did.
Now, you're saying that we're going to be judging with God, presupposing that we may be in agreement with his judgments, and you're making that point. Is this a guarantee that we'll be seeing things the same way as he did? I mean, he didn't experience living on earth. He didn't experience temptation of sin. So perhaps the way we'll be viewing things will be slightly different because of the experience. I mean, is it a guarantee we're going to be agreeing with him at all?
My brother, all knees shall bow down and testify that indeed the Lord is King, and that he is a righteous God, and that he is a just God. It will be beyond doubt when even the Bible tells us that God shall wipe away all tears. It means God shall also explain some of the questions we have. There is somebody who never lived to know their own father, their own mother. And they have questions and they are wondering. There's somebody who lost a spouse the day after their wedding, and there are no answers to some of life's perplexities. But God is going to explain all these. That's why God is going to wipe away all tears. This is not literal wiping tears, because right now you and I are not crying. We are here having this discourse, but the questions remain unanswered, and God shall answer those questions and wipe the tears. What does it mean? He will wipe the tears. It means he will answer to our satisfaction all of life's questions that no person has ever been able to answer. The pain we have gone through, the suffering we have gone through, God is going to answer and explain all those. And indeed, we shall all declare, oh Lord, you were loving in all this. You were just, your judgments were perfect. Even in the pain that I went through in that road accident, in losing a loved one, in losing a job, all the pain we have experienced, we will still declare. None will be left with a question. We will declare that, God, you are good and you were good to me.
Now, yes, you've explained it's going to be a millennium. We're going to be judging with God, and we're going to be reigning with Christ, the judgment. And of course, we're also going to be resting, one of the things that you also mentioned. What's going to be happening with the devil this whole time?
So, interesting. So at the point of the second coming of Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 4, it is the righteous living and the righteous dead who will be caught up together in the air and meet the Lord. And we will be taken up to heaven, and there we shall be with the Lord, and we will reign with him. Meanwhile, what has happened at that point? The unrighteous dead have not resurrected. They are still in their graves.
Okay.
What happens to the unrighteous living? They are destroyed at the coming of the second coming of Jesus. These are the ones that Matthew speaks about and say, some will run to the mountains and say, a mountain, fall on me. But it's because of the terror of the second coming of Jesus. And eventually they are consumed with the brightness of the coming of Jesus. So they remain dead. They're dead, the unrighteous remain dead. We read the text in Revelation 20, so I'm just making reference to it. They remain dead until the second resurrection. So they are in this, we read the text again, in this bottomless pit on this earth in their graves until after the second resurrection. But why are they resurrected? They are then resurrected to receive their final punishment, because some of them are just dead. They haven't received their punishment. So they will then be resurrected. Now we'll be touching, this is touching on what we'll probably discuss tomorrow. That's then when they'll be resurrected to receive their final punishment from God. So in the meanwhile, the dead are dead. It's only the devil and his angels who are in this bottomless pit, wandering on this earth with nobody to deceive. So they are locked in chains on this and in this bottomless pit, which is the planet Earth, as we learned and discussed yesterday, over the whole millennium, over the whole 1,000 years, tied in chains on this planet Earth, the bottomless pit.
Well, Pastor, we are going to be ending it right there. He will be chained in the bottomless pit with no one else to deceive at that particular time. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow, same time and the same place. But for this afternoon, we do want to say thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you very much. God bless to all our listeners. God bless you. Let's meet again tomorrow for the last dosage of this wonderful discussion on the millennium and the end of sin. God bless you.
Beautiful blessings. Thank you.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.